my dad raised me where if you start things, you finish them, you know? And, you know, same thing with social media. Say I post, you know, I start this hike and I have all these people that are cheering me on. Like, it's kind of embarrassing when you're like, okay, hold up, actually switch of gears. And at the end of the day, you know, that's fine. This is your life. And if you're not enjoying what you're doing, switch gears. Like, it's totally fine.
Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and experience the world outside your comfort zone and to do big, courageous things with your one life. Let this show be a source of advice and inspiration, and remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. This episode is supported by Osprey, my go-to luggage brand for everything since 2015, and by Oboz Footwear, my feet's ride-or-die adventure shoe brand. So stay tuned for more about my recent favorites from both of them. And of course, we're supported by Jump Adventures and our own collection of epic adventure itineraries to Patagonia and beyond. Let us send you on your dream adventure. You can find out more and browse trips at jumpadventures.com. All right, welcome back, everyone, and thanks for tuning in today, wherever you are. I've been wanting to talk about today's subject for a long time, and that is through hiking, specifically here on the long trails that we have in our own backyard across North America, which include the Pacific Crest Trail, which you may be most familiar with that one, especially if you read the book Wild by Cheryl Strayed, or perhaps you saw the movie, the Continental Divide Trail and the Appalachian Trail. And fun fact, if you hike and complete all three of these trails, you earn what the thru hiking community calls the Triple Crown. And today we have a hiker here with us to share some stories and dive into this completely other world of thru hiking. So Jada, aka Flo, thank you so much for being here and welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jackie. Yeah, this is awesome. Thru-hiking has been a really big thing in my life. It has really kind of shaped how I run my life when I'm not on trail. And yeah, it's an incredible thing. And I truly, you know, wish everybody could get out there, whether that be, you know, 1 mile one day or, you know, 5,000 miles over the course of 10 years, whatever that may be. So yes, it's pretty near and dear to my heart.
I love that. And that's what I want to dig into with you. But I suppose before we start with thru hiking, maybe we should talk a little bit about who you are and just where this came from in your world, what drew you to it, where you're from, that kind of thing. So maybe you can start with an introduction.
Yeah. So like Jackie said, my name is Jada. I'm originally from Iowa. I came out to Montana, where I call kind of my base camp right now. I came out here in 2020. And because of that, actually, because I'm here, my last semester of college had to be an internship. So back, graduated college in 21 in Iowa, but my last semester was an internship. So I came out to Montana, to the Big Sky area to intern in Yellowstone National Park. That's kind of what got me out here. And so I kind of like to say like that is kind of my first big girl job. So I came out here and I, you know, loved it. Really got into snowboarding kind of first thing. And back in 2022, I was snowboarding and I actually got into a pretty gnarly accident. And that accident left me bedridden for 8 weeks. My orthopedic surgeon said, hey, you know, if you weren't wearing a helmet, that accident like would have taken your life. And at 21 years old, when somebody says that to you, you just kind of like, holy cow, like life is short. Like I want to start living. So I got out of surgery and
I got chills.
I said, okay, I need something to look forward to because at this time, you know, I'm guiding every day. I'm spending my whole entire life outside and now I'm bedridden. Like, oh my God. So yeah, that was a really tough time. And so while I was in bed, you know, I started looking on YouTube and I kind of found out that there is this hiking thing that people do. And the season was March. And so I said, okay, what kind of hikes can I do in March? And so I found the Arizona Trail. The Arizona Trail is an 800-mile trail that starts at the U.S.-Mexico border, and it goes throughout the whole state of Arizona and ends at the Utah-Arizona border. So I had just gotten released to start walking in my walking boots. I was walking in that boot for 3 days. And then I left Bozeman and flew down to Tucson, where I then got a shuttle down to the Mexico border. Yes. Yeah, so when I started this hike...
Wasting no time.
When I started this hike, I had a 6-inch fracture in my leg. And I knew that this was going to be hard, but I needed to show myself that I could do it. I needed to prove to myself that this accident wasn't going to be something that I had to deal with the rest of my life. And so I did it. I walked 800 miles across the state of Arizona. And by the time I was completed, my leg was totally healed. And during that time, you know, I fell in love with the community of thru hiking. I learned that there are people like me, you know, there are people like me out there. And there is this thing that I can do that it just gives me life and really provides me with nothing. You know, when you are out there, you don't have anything. You have your backpack, you have the contents that are in your pack, but you don't need anything else. You know, we come back to this world when we're not hiking, where we have all these things and there's so much that we think that we need, but in reality, we really don't. So when I started on the Arizona Trail, I had no, I didn't think that it was going to be anything other than just a one-time thing. You know, I was going to hike this trail. I was going to figure out that my body is strong and I was going to come back, start working again, you know, go on with my life. But it didn't really work out that way, I guess. I fell in love with this thing. And so when I moved, you know, when I completed the trail, I moved back, you know, I came back to Bozeman. At the time I was living in a house with a couple girls. I had a master bedroom. I had a walk-in closet. I had everything. So many clothes, so many shoes. And I came back and I just kind of purged my whole entire life. I said, all right, I want to live in a vehicle because I know that I want to do this the rest of my life. And so I did what I had to do. I sold everything. I moved into a vehicle. I really reduced my overhead to allow myself to continue to do this. Because I would say that is one of the biggest questions that I get when I am, you know, out on trail, out doing whatever. People always want to know, well, how do you afford this lifestyle? How do mm-hmm. you, how can you do it? How can you manage it? No, I'm not a trust fund. No, my parents do not help me out. You know, I'm not begging for money. I do what I have to do to continue this life. So, yeah. Yeah, I would say that's kind of who I am. In outside of, you know, long distance hiking, I do a lot of other things. I take pride in not kind of being like a one sport athlete, I guess you could say. So I live in my Toyota Tundra full time. I'd say my base camp is the Bozeman Big Sky area. I enjoy mountain biking. I enjoy canyoneering. I enjoy camping. I enjoy snowboarding. And then I've also gotten into the backcountry skiing world as well.
So much for one sport.
Yes. I think of myself still kind of being like this little girl from Iowa, but I've gotten out and I have a lot of friends and I know a lot of people that are kind of feeling stuck in, they're not sure what to do. And it's tough being, you know, a girl in today's world when people are like, oh, it's dangerous out there. Like, you should be careful. You should be blah, 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 blah. And I understand it's dangerous. I know there's so many scary things out there, but life is so short. And until you really realize that life is short, I think you kind of gyp yourself. So yeah, life is short. And I'm so stoked to be where I am and doing what I do.
I love that so much. I feel like you just reminded me of a quote that I actually can't remember from a movie. That's a great story. But the point of it was something about you have two lives and the second one starts when you realize that, something like that.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
the impact. Do you know what I'm talking about? Somebody out there knows what movie and what quote I'm talking about, but I feel like you had that moment and you're like, oh my goodness. Okay. I have a choice now. I almost just died in that accident. Yeah.
And I feel like you don't know until you are in that moment, right? Like, it's so easy to say, oh, life is short, but you know, if you live your everyday kind of doing your thing, like until something happens where you actually feel it and actually realize it, it's like, all right, like I gotta start doing what I want. You know, like it's not always going to be it's not always going to be there, you know, like do it now, you know, you have the time now, do it.
Okay. I love that so much. I feel like you've actually been doing something now with this second life of yours or this second opportunity that you feel like you've received. And okay, so let's go from, so the Arizona Trail, you did the Arizona Trail first, but you have done the big three, right?
I have done the Appalachian Trail, the Continental Divide Trail. I have not done the Pacific Crest Trail yet, but I have done.
Okay.
So I've done the Arizona Trail, the Grand Enchantment Trail, the Wonderland Trail, the Appalachian Trail, the Continental Divide, and the Great Divide, and the Oregon Coast.
Yeah.
So
goodness.
Okay. In terms of like the United States, you know, everyone thinks about the big three, like you've mentioned, the Appalachian Trail, the Continental Divide, and the Pacific Crest Trail. But we in the United States have what is called, you know, the National Scenic Trail System. So it's federally funded and there are all different types, all different kinds of trails. And then under trails, you have what are known as routes. Routes are a little bit lesser known than trails and they're a little bit harder, I guess you could say, because on your main trails, you're going to have an established path that's, you know, X amount, however many miles long. But some of these other lesser known routes or trails, you may be bushwhacking, you may be walking highways, you may be walking other things than just, you know, your 2 foot wide path.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, but yeah, I would say the Arizona Trail, you know, that was my first long distance trail. So I did that in 22. In 2021, I actually hiked the Wonderland Trail. And that's a 96-mile trail that goes around the base of Mount Rainier over in Mount Rainier National Park in Washington State. And I did that. It was an 8-day little trip. And so for me, that was just like a little vacation from work. It wasn't anything crazy. But you know, that was my first time kind of getting out. And it's funny because I look at pictures of that trip and I look at the gear that I brought. And, you know, I brought my winter ski shell. I brought this tent that I couldn't even sit up in. It was just, you know, I'm kind of like a rookie compared to what I would call myself now, I guess.
Sure. But you have to start somewhere.
Oh my
gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody starts out as an expert.
And I would say that's, you know, that is a trip of its own, because I always tell people the hardest part is getting out there. And once you're out there, it's a piece of cake. All you have to do is put one foot in front of the other. But, you know, the planning, the getting the gear, all the logistics, like all of that is very intimidating. And I understand that that could be difficult. But yeah, I want to jump back to the Arizona Trail. And so I was hiking this trail, you know, I just had, my goal was to finish it. Didn't really think anything else of it. But when I was halfway through this hike, I actually met this guy on trail and ended up being, you know, we hit it off right away. And he was living a life that I didn't really know existed. So he was on a 4-year sabbatical. He had worked very, very hard the last few years, saved up a bunch of money, and he was just going to travel. And wow. I come from a family of, you know, hardworking people. My dad wore a suit and tie to work every day. Like, I wouldn't really say I come from an outdoorsy family. You know, you might call me even the black sheep. And so listening to this guy talk about everything that he wanted to do, you know, from hiking to hitchhiking to train hopping, all of these things that I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is so cool. This is so fun. Like, and I consider myself a yes person as in anything that somebody were to say, hey, do you want to do this? Like, it's a yes. It's always a yes. I don't care what it is. I am down. And so I learned kind of what life was all about living this way. And so we finished the hike together. And then we actually flew over to the country of Jordan because we were going to attempt the Jordan Trail, which is a 400-mile trail that goes the whole
north-south.
Yes, Jordan. Of the country.
Yeah, I've been on it. I've been on it twice, actually.
Oh my gosh, no way. That's cool.
Yeah, I've led groups in Jordan. Yeah, that's beautiful. It's amazing. Okay, yeah. So keep going.
Yes. Anyways, and so this guy, he was very, very into routes or trails. It didn't really have a lot of information on them. And so once again, I was like, yeah, like that sounds awesome. Like, let's do it. Ultimately, our time on the Jordan Trail was not really what we were hoping for. We spent like 4 days in the city of Amman, And that was really cool because, like, personally, I remember, like, being in college and listening to all of these, like, humanities courses about, you know, where humanity started. And I was like, okay, this is dumb. Like, when am I ever going to use this in my everyday life? Not knowing that I was going to be in the country of Jordan, like, where it all started.
Well, isn't that a weird thing?
Yeah.
I remember that feeling, too. I was in the north of Jordan and, like, the Sea of Galilee was over there. And I was like, yes. Wait, what?
Yeah, it's so cool. And so, yes, I loved Amman. I loved the culture. I remember, like, walking down the sidewalk and there were taxi drivers that were hanging out of their car and saying, hey, welcome to Jordan. Like, it was just so welcoming and so, so amazing. And I remember, you know, like, my family, they were terrified when I was going over there. And so being able to tell them the things that I did and how people were over there. Side tangent, but, like, my family is glued to the news. And so as a solo female traveler, whatever you want to call me, they're constantly worried. They're like, oh, like, all this stuff is going to happen. And so, yeah, so ultimately I'm trying to break that barrier, not only for myself, but my friends that are having babies, all of these people that are so conditioned to the fact that the world is a dangerous place for little girls. You know, like, I understand there's bad eggs out there. I understand all of these things. But once again, life is so short. And
if you hide from it the whole time, you're never going to live it.
You're going to miss out on so much. Yep. And that's, you know, hitchhiking, that is, you know, it has become a really big part of not only, you know, my life, but also, you know, getting to and from trail and all of these places. And yeah, I would say if I could sum it up in one sentence, like, there are so many amazing people out there. And I feel very lucky that I've gotten to meet so many amazing people. And it's not just, you know, you hop in their car and they take you where you don't want to go. It's the relationships that you get to have. You know, I have so many contacts in my phone of people all over the world. You know, maybe I spent 5 minutes with them. Maybe I spent 5 hours with them. But it's really cool. And yeah, and especially in today's world, like, there's so much awesomeness out there.
So I've been following your story since we met earlier this summer. And I love the way that you share these stories on Instagram, by the way. Because you talk about this stuff, you know, you talk about the people and the hitchhiking and whatever the world's going to see you as a solo female traveler. Me too. That just happens to be who and what we are, you know. But I want to ask you about the hitchhiking. I want to ask you about the people. I want to ask you about so many things. But I also want to ask you, how did it go in Jordan? You said, did you do the whole thing? I'm just curious. Did you do the whole thing or did you?
We did not. So we had planned to do the whole thing. I think we're going to be there for like a month or something. We actually only hiked about 50 miles on the trail. We had a couple weird instances that happened early on. And here's the thing about long distance hiking. You, as the hiker, are putting your life on pause. So anything that you are doing in the real world, whether you have a lease, whether you have a relationship, your job, everything is you're putting on pause. So when you commit to a thing like this, regardless of if it's 1 week or 1 year, you are taking time out of your life to do this. And how I view it is you need to be where you want to be. If you are taking all of this time off, do what you want to do. And ultimately, that's what we figured out. You know, we were hiking this trail that wasn't like we were expecting. We weren't getting what we wanted out of it. So instead of continuing on in a place and doing something that we didn't want, we switched gears. And so we ultimately came back into the States and we hiked a different trail called the Grand Enchantment Trail, which is a 700-mile route that goes from Albuquerque, New Mexico to Phoenix, Arizona. So it's all desert, all off trail. It's totally different than the Arizona Trail, you know, any typical whatever. And that adventure itself is what made me fall in love with the desert, really fall in love with the desert, and has ultimately, you know, shaped this path into canyoneering and falling in love with the ancestral Puebloans, which are the people that lived there thousands of years ago. And there's a whole world of, you know, hunting for artifacts, whether that be ruins or rock art, petroglyphs, anything like that. The desert is very near and dear to my heart. And I'm grateful that I was able to open the door. So even though one adventure closed, one was kind of able to open.
There's so many good gems in what you're saying. So I'm going to do my best as the host of this conversation right now to try and not let them get buried, because one of the things you just touched on, I would really like to go back to, and that was just the simple, you flew past it, but the simple fact that you gave yourself permission to change your mind in the middle of the trail is a huge thing. And that, I think, can apply across anything that we decide to do as humans. Really, this is our experience. This is our life. What you're really hitting on here is what your priority is, what your goals are, what your priorities are, and what you're trying to get out of it. And I can only imagine, I mean, I've done this before where, you know, you go into a trip, there's so much planning, there's so much anticipation, your family knows, your friends know, like, it's a big deal. And when you take off, you're going to do the thing. And if you change your mind, there's some pride that gets hurt in that. There's maybe some shame. Like, there's a lot of big feelings there. And I don't want to just let that get buried, because it also is up to you in the end. You're giving yourself permission to change your mind. Can you talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah. So I'm, you know, going to tell a different story here. On the Continental Divide, back in 2023, I started up in Canada. I was walking south to Mexico. In the middle of the hike in Wyoming, I got Giardia. And I battled with Giardia for 2 weeks and I felt like poo. Everything, you know, my mind wasn't there. I was like, why am I doing this? But that's something that I struggled with, because I had, you know, I had committed to do this 4 month long hike. I'm 2 months into it. You know, I feel like garbage. And what does that mean if I get off? You know, like, I'm embarrassed. I don't want to say I'm letting myself down, but I've created this thing, and my dad raised me where if you start things, you finish them, you know? And, you know, same thing with social media. Say I post, you know, I start this hike and I have all these people that are cheering me on. Like, it's kind of embarrassing when you're like, okay, hold up, actually switch of gears. And at the end of the day, you know, that's fine. You know, this is your life. And if you're not enjoying what you're doing, regardless of its health or whatever, switch gears. Like, it's totally fine. And at the end of the day, like, it's about you and what you want to do, because, you know, once again, you're taking the time out of your life to do this, and life is so short. So that was, and being in Jordan, you know, we were literally, I remember it, we were hiking and we sat down, because the trail is like a paved path. And so it's not like a lot of trails here in the U.S. There are a lot of differences. But I remember
maybe where you were.
We
that's so different from where we were.
I remember we were walking and we couldn't even stop to like take a break, because we were right by this main highway and I was just kind of feeling weird. And we had a couple of people like say some things to us. And there was an evening where we like were camping and we were up high, you know, kind of overlooking this village, because when you start in the northern border, you're walking through a lot of villages. And so you're never really in nature, I guess you could say. But it was really cool because we walked by these schools and all of these kids would come out and give us falafel. And, it, you know, once again, like, there are really cool parts of it, but My breaking point was when we were walking and we walked by this cage. It was probably like 5 feet by 5 feet, tiny. And there were probably like 25 dogs in there. And I have a heart that I couldn't do that. That was, yeah. And so, yeah, we sat down. We said, all right, you know, we could do this. We could do this. Well, we have this time off. What can we do in this time in the States? And so we were going to do the Grand Enchantment Trail that next spring, because it's the desert. You know, you can't be in there in the summer because it's hot and you're dealing with water and whatnot. And so we switched gears and we said, okay, you know, like, this time frame works. Let's do it. And so, you know, you're booking. Like, I flew a 10-hour flight to the country of Jordan and I was there for 4 days, which, you know, people might say, oh, well, like, do you regret that? Do you regret blah, blah, blah? No. Like, when else am I going to be in the city of Amman being able to do all the things that I did? And so, no, I don't regret it. And I don't regret spending the money to fly back, whatever. At the end of the day, you know, like, those are memories that I'll have forever. And that's way more important than however much money that ticket costs.
Sure. It's still experience. It's still life lessons. It's still the thing that's getting you to the next point. It's still all valid. It's still all worth it. We'll come right back to that. But first, let's thank the brands that support our show. Osprey has been my go-to luggage for everything since 2015. My new favorite item to add to my list of trusty travel luggage is the Transporter Rolling Duffel 40 that I recently took as a carry-on all over Europe for 6 weeks on 13 flights, including a few of those budget airlines with strict rules, and it fit in the overhead bin on all of them. No lost luggage worries here. And with its high chassis, it held up beautifully on the cobblestone streets of France, dirt, rocks, ferries, and van transfers in the fjords of Norway, and even sandy surfaces on the coasts of Greece and Albania. 80% of Osprey's entire product line are certified Blue Sign products, and 100% are backed by their almighty guarantee. They will repair or replace any product for the life of the product. We are proud to support each other both on and off the podcast, and you can find out more at osprey.com. Oboz Footwear is the maker of my feet's number one favorite adventure shoe, the Sawtooth X Low. I know that footwear is as personal and particular as our own feet, but if my feet could talk, they'd scream at you to go try a pair of these on, because slipping them on is like taking my feet to a cloud massage instead of a 15-mile hike. I don't make the rules, I'm just here for the ride. Aside from comfort and performance, one of my favorite things about Oboz Footwear is their commitment to sustainability. Not only are they a certified B Corp, but every pair of footwear sold helps plant trees across the world. Check them out for yourself and find out more at obozfootwear.com/lovehiking. And thank you, wherever you are, for listening to the show and supporting these brands that help make it possible.
Yeah. And as my grandma says, you know, like everything happens for a reason. And growing up, she would say that. And I get so ticked off. I'm like, ah, you and your dumb sayings. But as I get older, like it's so true, you know, like even when you aren't sure what's going to happen next, like it'll fall into place.
Yeah. And so you guys did the Grand Enchantment Trail.
We did the Grand Enchantment Trail, and it was hard. Like, this is because it's a route, you don't have the type of, back up. Long distance hiking in the United States, we have this awesome app on our phone that's called Far Out. Far Out is kind of everything you need for long distance hiking. You are following a GPX track on your phone, so you're able to see your exact location. And there are all kinds of waypoints. So we have water icons, which show us where all the water is. You have little campsite icons where it tells you kind of the best spots to camp. It has towns. It has everything you need when you are doing a really big trek. The Grand Enchantment Trail is more of a route, meaning that in terms of water, we were following a Google Doc. So there was no way to tell if, you know, how updated it was, if water was going to be here. You know, you could be walking for 35 miles and not really sure if you're going to come up on water. But that's the desert. And that's something that I love about it. And I've learned that some people don't like the desert because there's so many potential hazards that you could run into.
It's crazy. The desert is, I love it.
Me too, man. And I really think that it takes time you have to commit to the desert for it to have its effect on you.
Yeah.
I feel like, because I grew up in the mountains and the trees with lakes, like completely opposite from the desert. I didn't like the desert for the longest time. And then I spent some time in Baja, like real time in Baja. And I love it now, and I get it. I understand. Like, you have to be in it to get it.
Well, and I think, like, you have to be able to see the beauty in it, I guess, and not everybody can see that. Because, like, I've hiked with a lot of people, and, you know, maybe they, whatever, PCT, CDT, or desert trails themselves, and they were like, yeah, I hated the New Mexico section of the GDT. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I love cowboy camping. And for those who don't know what cowboy camping is, it is when you are getting to camp and instead of putting up a tent, you just sleep right under the stars. So you put out your sleeping bag and you're there. The desert is the easiest kind of spot to do that because you're least likely to get rained on. The mountains are a little, you may be waking up at 3 a.m. and having it a little sprinkle on you. But yes, the cowboy camping in the desert, the sunrises and the sunsets. It is beauty that I have not found anywhere else.
like the stars, the sunrises and the sunsets. Yeah, I think that is kind of what I took away the most from the Arizona Trail, that I was just so blown away. I had no idea that even really existed because I had never done it before.
Sure. And you wouldn't unless you've done it. So you started with the Arizona Trail. You've now done the Grand Enchantment. What was it called? Grand Enchantment Trail?
Yep. I've done Grand Enchantment Trail, Appalachian, Continental Divide, and the Great Divide, and the Oregon Coast.
Do you work in between these things? Like how you do?
Yeah.
Do you come back to Bozeman or around this area and get jobs and whatever? Okay. And then you plan like next year or whatever it is you're going to do.
Yeah. And that is, I'm a very frugal person because I enjoy so many different seasons and so many outdoor sports. And if you know anything about outdoor sports, gear is freaking expensive. Getting into sports is expensive. So yes, I say my primary work season now is between like November and April. Before I started hiking full time, I guess. I was guiding out of Big Sky, and my bosses are, I still consider myself a guide, and because my bosses just they allow me to come and go as I want. They were dirtbags back in their day as well, and so they're very supportive. They, you know, I will always have that opportunity if and when I choose to go that route. Something that I've noticed though, as I've been long distance hiking, I've kind of turned into like, I don't want to say like antisocial, but guiding is exhausting. And being based in Big Sky, Montana, your market base, very wealthy people. And I hold myself to a very high standard when it comes to working in general, let alone guiding. And I just kind of feel like I just kind of want a break, I guess. And so I would say that I'm currently on a break from guiding. So yes, in the winter time in Big Sky, being able to snowboard is very important to me. And so the last few winters, I have been running a cookie shack at the base of a lift at Big Sky Resort. And it's really awesome. You know, I'm still able to kind of get my people fixed, but I'm able to work and, you know, and still have time for snowboarding and backcountry skiing and whatnot. And yes, because I live in my vehicle full time, you know, I will preface this by saying this is not a life for everyone. You know, in Southwest Montana, we have temperatures that get down to, you know, negative 30 degrees Fahrenheit, negative 40 degrees Fahrenheit. And living in the bed of a Toyota Tundra in negative 40 degrees Fahrenheit, you know, I don't have heat. I have gear. I have really warm sleeping bags and all of these things. And I'm able to survive, you know, because I know what my end goal is. I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. I don't spend a lot of money. I don't go out to eat, especially in the Big Sky, Bozeman area. Like, things are expensive as heck. Mm-hmm. I guess it all kind of funnels into, I know what I want to do in the spring, summer, and fall. And so I do what I have to do to do that.
In the winter, right?
I mean, in the meantime, you know, I pick up odd jobs. You know, I write for a company. I help my friend paint. I walk dogs. I'm very, very flexible. And I feel like that is something that you kind of have to be when you're kind of just a nomad. I don't know. Like, because I live in my vehicle and because I have a dog, I never dig too much into savings. Like, I always keep enough money that if something were to happen, I would still be okay. And it's definitely, it takes time to kind of get to that point, because it's so easy to know you'll go to McDonald's after work or go out with your friends here and there. But once again, it all comes back to kind of having that. Why are you doing it? You know, what do you want to get out of it? And being able to canyoneer in the spring and fall, to hike in the summer. I just bought a brand new downhill mountain bike as well. And so there's just so many things. And that's just, you know, I don't ever see myself, you know, living in a house. I don't ever see myself, you know, having kids. And so this is a life that I don't really ever see stopping anytime soon.
And it might not. You know, how old are you, Jada?
I'm 26.
Okay. I'm laughing just with you because I feel like I'm talking to a younger version of myself right now, which is just, it actually, like, it warms my heart though, because I get it. I really do. Like, this, my smile to you is totally genuine because I just remember, I mean, it was a little different in that I was working in restaurants. That was how I funded it. But like, I did, it was such a similar thing. Yours is focused here in the backyard on the trails, right? Mine was focused international, travel, whatever I could do since I was 18. And the way that I made it work was seasonally. You know, I'd come back and I'd work in restaurants and I'd save up all my money. And I was also frugal. And I was also, I mean, I've had so many storage units and slept on couches and all the things, whatever it takes to make it work, right? Because I knew what I wanted. I knew what I wanted. I knew like what kept me going, what makes me tick. That was my life. It's okay if the next person didn't agree, didn't think the same, didn't want the same. It didn't matter. I was here for me. That was what I was doing. I was showing up for my own goals, whatever, and making it work. And this is exactly what you're doing. Like,
yeah.
I have lived out of my vehicle. Like, I've done so many of the things that you're doing. But I appreciate it. And I respect it so much because you are living Jada. You are moving towards the things that look like Jada and like light you up, and you're inspiring people as you go, and you're, you know, having an impact. You're letting the world have an impact on you. You're sharing your stories. It's so cool. I love it. And you know what? It doesn't have to change. It can last like this as long as Jada wants it to. You know, like, this is your show. This is your show.
Yeah. And I mean, looking back, you know, like when you talk about it out loud, it kind of gives you another level of reflection, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I haven't always been like this. I came from a pretty tough upbringing. You know, I've gone through some things that not a lot of people should ever, nobody should go through. But it's definitely kind of made me who I am. And my dad, you know, him and I were super close, and we still are really close. And he was very hard on me, you know, so he's the one that wanted me to go to college. He's the one that wanted me to do, you know, the typical child things. And so I'm grateful that I had him kind of just beating on me. And so, yeah, so I did graduate college, and I did that mainly for him. But once I graduated college, I felt that I could truly start living for me, because I made my dad happy. I did everything that he wanted me to do. Because my dad's like, he's not outdoorsy, you know? And he said, like, he was here when he moved me from my house into my truck. And he was like, this is crazy. And, you know, until he saw how happy it made me and how I was able to manage this life, you know, like, without calling him every day, say, hey, can I have some money? Like, he was like, okay, you know, like, I see what she's doing. I may not want that for me, but I see my daughter succeeding and being happy. And at the end of the day, I think that's really all that matters. And so I feel very grateful to be where I'm at. And it's very easy to scroll on Instagram, scroll on Facebook, and see all of these influencers. I hate that word, but see all of these people, you know, living the life and thinking, oh, like, they were given all of this money. They were given all of this. And it's like, no, like, I fought tooth and nail to be here. And I feel so lucky to be where I am.
Well, it's the life that you've created for yourself. And I think therein lies all of the lessons, is that you really do run the show. It's your life. Like what you were saying earlier, this is your life and you're the one making the decisions. And all of those experiences that you're putting yourself into, that you're creating for yourself, you're growing from them and you're becoming more of the person that you're meant to be. And only with that can you see what the next step even is for you.
Yeah. I mean, half of the experiences I have experienced, you know, in the last year, I'm like, holy cow. Like, if I was not there in that exact time, I would have never been close to that experience. And yeah, I think it's the random things that come up that end up kind of meeting the most. And those are the things that I carry with me and I think about. And yeah.
I have a question for you. Well, among others, but let's just start with, so I know that you just did the Great Divide Trail, which is a continuation of the Continental Divide Trail on the Canadian side, correct?
Yep, exactly. So it continues through the Rocky Mountains in Canada. It starts at Waterton. Waterton is the Canada side of Glacier National Park. So you're basically hiking from the Canadian border north into the middle of nowhere. And I didn't really know what that meant before I got out there, I guess. Living here in Southwest Montana, you know, we're in the Rockies. We have these beautiful mountains all around us, all kinds of beautiful ridges. But out there, you know, there's not really a trail. So you are just kind of walking towards this goal that,
somewhere out there on a map.
you kind of have a GPS point that you're, you know, go that you have your sight sets on, and however it is to get there, you'll figure it out. Definitely the most wild thing that I have ever done. But like I mentioned to you earlier, it's being able to look back. You know, at the time I was like, oh, why am I doing this? Like, this sucks. Like, I want to go home. But looking back, you're like, I did that. I can do anything. Like, I am so empowered. And yeah, especially doing it solo. Like, that is not something that I knew was going to happen. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm so grateful that it did happen. And I feel a lot stronger. Like, I can, it opened up doors to things that I didn't think that I could ever, you know, even consider. Like, I will go solo hike something that I now know that I could do.
We have to dig into this on this podcast because I know you started not alone, but your hiking companions decided about maybe halfway, I think, to leave the trail. But you continued.
Yeah.
First of all, this was a wild trail already. I just was following, you know, the photos and the bushwhacking and all of that. And to decide to stay out there. And then also, did something happen to your Garmin InReach? Like, you didn't even have access. Tell me about what happened here.
Yes. So first off, so my partners that got off, you know, like I mentioned earlier, everybody is taking time out of their lives to do this. And so I made sure that, like, when everybody said our goodbyes, like, we left on good terms, you know, like they are two of my best friends. And I knew that I was not going to let a silly hike get in the middle of that. And so once people kind of started talking of, hey, you know, I'm not really feeling this. Hey, I'd rather spend my time here. Like, but everybody, you know, they were both really worried about me. And I said, hey, you know what? Like, I'm going to be okay. So because I started as a group, I did never think I was going to be alone. And so because of that, I did not bring my Garmin InReach. It's still here at home. Now, you know, tell me, call me, whatever. I understand, you know, that's probably not the best thing. But I was going to be with my friends. And so I thought, you know what? It's fine. And I also have an older iPhone, meaning that I can't do satellite message off of that iPhone. And now this is something that I did not tell my family until I got back to Montana, because I knew that they would not. I mean, they did not like it that I was going to be by myself in general, let alone not having any way to communicate. This being said, the Great Divide Trail is considered a trail. But once you get to the halfway point, you know, say 400 miles or so in, the trail kind of disappears and you are kind of just doing route finding over these ridges, up really gnarly terrain. I think of like trying to climb a mountain of gravel. When you take one step up, it's so loose that you just fall back. Not only are you doing with the terrain, but the weather. It rained every single day out there for the first 30 days. I talked to every single person up there and that had lived in the, you know, British Columbia, because the trail is the border of Alberta and British Columbia, because that is where the Rocky Mountains go. And so every town I went into, you know, when I got a hitch, I'd say, hey, like, what's the weather? Have you been noticing it's more rainy? And they said, yes, this has been the rainiest summer that I have ever seen. And I've lived here for 35 years, whatever.
Oh, great.
But that being said, you know, if we didn't have the rain, we'd have wildfire smoke. And so you kind of have to pick your poison. And I would pick the rain over wildfire smoke. Anyways, info. Yeah, this trail was very burly. You're in the middle of nowhere. You're going, you know, 6 to 8 days between towns. And so not only is your daily mileage going to be pretty big, you're also going to be dealing with really tough ascents. I mean, you're climbing over 1,000 feet in less than a half mile for a lot of climbs. And so that's a lot of climbing straight up. And so, you know, things like that, like it takes time. Like you aren't going to be moving as fast. You know, you're going to be dealing with rain that is coming over these ridges. There's so many things that happen and that can happen. And I mean, at the end of the day, I just stopped, you know, looking at the weather because I was like, all right, it's going to rain. That's not going to stop me from doing what I want to do. I'm just going to stop looking at it. Yeah. So it is a trail. And even though, you know, I was out with my group, we weren't the only ones out there. And I guess that's the other biggest thing is there were other people. And even though like I was alone, I knew that if something happened and, you know, something happening as in, you know, like falling and twisting an ankle or basically just being stagnant on trail, if that would have happened, I knew somebody would come up and find me, whether that be 1 day, 2 days, I don't know how long, but I was confident that yes, it was going to be okay. And ultimately it was, you know, I was able to spend some days with some people, you know, camping alone by myself, maybe seeing them the next day, what have you. So even though you're alone, you're never truly alone. And that goes for all kinds of trails. You know, in the United States, the big three, the Appalachian Trail, Continental Divide, and Pacific Crest Trail, like lots of people are on there. So even though you may hear somebody that starts alone on these trails, they're never going to be truly alone. There are a lot of people out there.
I love that you said that because that's actually so true for the rest of travel as well, just as it relates. I mean, yes, you can start a trip by yourself. You can get on that plane alone. You can find that hostel or hotel, whatever it is, start out alone. But I feel like being alone makes you a magnet. Don't you think that? Like, it's even if you want to be alone, you can't be. People are just drawn to you. They want to talk to you. They're curious about you. And so I love that you just reminded me that because I'm picturing you out on these mountains like alone. I'm like, oh, well, that's silly. Of course she's not alone. That's interesting.
And then you got to think about like where you're at, like the Canadian Rockies, like there's grizzly bears. And because I live here in Southwest Montana and I've guided in Yellowstone, like I love grizzly bears. I love them. I think we are so lucky to be in the same area where they are. And so things like that doesn't bother me. But it was interesting, you know, funny, I guess, every time, you know, I got a hitch and people be like, oh, you're doing this thing by yourself? Like, what? And I say, yeah, you know, it's okay. We're doing it. And like my grandma, for example, like my grandma was a first grade teacher her whole entire life. You know, she grew up and this, what I'm doing wasn't really an option. You know, it was an option, but she, you know, nobody talked about it. Nobody knew that you could do that. And so she will tell me, you know, like I live vicariously through you because I didn't know I could do that when I was your age. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that's a really big thing. And I enjoy the platform that I have because I'm able to get people out there, you know, the exact same thing that you do. It's people that don't know, you know, they're shown that, okay, like there's a world out there that. And so, yeah, I feel very grateful that I get to get people out there. You know, I get messages all the time and they say, hey, like me and my mom just did this and you inspired us to do this. And that's really cool. That's Yeah.
You're making an impact on other people and you get to be the one doing it. It's hard to be the one to light the torch and march into the darkness, but it's worth it.
It is worth it.
Okay, we're actually going to pause right there because believe it or not, we are only halfway through this conversation and we shift gears going forward talking about trail magic and trail angels and what hitchhiking looks like for through hikers, which of course they need to do quite a lot of to get in and out of towns that are off trail. And of course, getting to trailheads and getting back home afterwards. So Join us in the next episode to hear some incredible stories about Jada's experiences with trail magic and the kindness of strangers, which, as you'll hear, can be applied to all kinds of travel. And we wrap it up with some of the biggest lessons learned and how long distance hiking has really changed Jada's life. So make sure to hit up episode 194 as well. Thank you again for tuning in, and happy trails to you.